Okay, once again, if I can invite you all to go to the top of the homepage and look at Military Summary. That's the name of the channel. Just extraordinary work done on a digital background, showing the area of combat, showing the forces involved. It's kind of like the big board, so to speak, and you'll see who's doing what, how, when, and why. It's interspersed with embedded videos, which are also very helpful. But it's a really, if you want to follow what's happening over there, the massacre of massacres, that's where you want to watch. You'll see. All right. Let's say hello to Mitch and see what he's got going. It's not looking good for Zelensky and his Bolshevik Zionists running that country. They are sacrificing so many people. Mercenaries from 15 countries involved, doesn't matter. They're just mowing them down. They're no air cover, being forced to run into minefields and just slaughtered. It's slaughter. That's all it is. Welcome back, Mitch.
Good to be here. And the site that you're talking about, I look at them, and they're accurate. Okay, they're basically telling the truth. It's not like they know everything, but everything they're reporting is factual and stuff. So
they've got a plug in somewhere to the military, the Russian military, or the Ministry of Defense. He's getting data. There's no doubt. But
as a military person too, I can just say that he's accurate in what he's describing and stuff. So many times when people talk about military stuff, well, there's just a lot of things that they're kind of unaware of the way things work and stuff. But this guy seems to know what he's talking about. You know, I think he's probably had some military background himself. You know,
he rattles that off like a machine. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's good. So tonight I want to start off talking about Russian strategy and maybe end up talking about it.
Can I do one thing first?
Yeah.
This is important. Blinken went over to talk to Xi Jinping in Beijing, and they had meetings, and the Chinese said it was just a courtesy meeting or something like that. But from what I'm told, and I got this from the current top of the homepage military analysis of Ukraine, what I'm told at the end of that, that the guy told me, I don't even know what his name is, he said, this is very important. We're going over to the United States, and now we're going to Beijing because Blinken has assured the Communist Chinese that the U.S. does not support Taiwan independence. Now that was not covered in any of the MSM Western media, but if that assurance was given to the communists, go ahead.
It is accurate. It is accurate because what Blinken told the Chinese, he's kissing their butt, okay, because he's a loser. But he's telling the Chinese, oh, we still support the One China policy, and we do not support independence for Taiwan, okay, because that is part of the One China policy, that we're not supposed to do that. Okay,
right.
But Chairman Xi is not a fool. You know, the thing that you have to look here when Blinken goes anywhere is that it is clear. It is clear to everybody but the West that America has started this war and bullying this war. They're bullying China. They're bullying Russia. Now, we don't see that. Russia is the big bad enemy, and so is China. Neither one of those countries have any designs on U.S. territory. None. Zilch. Okay? No interest at all. Nobody in their country has even talked about it. Okay? So what it is even Russia has basically said, well, we can't trust anything that the Americans say or do. Even in writing, we can't trust what they say. So the Chinese are doing the same thing. They don't trust us. Why would they trust us? I mean, you know, we wanted to open up these big lines of communication, but China understands that what that is that America wants those so that they can kind of bully them and push them around and manipulate them and stuff. So the Chinese are like, well, why talk? So what he wanted, above all, was he wanted a dialogue between the United States Secretary of Defense and the Chinese Secretary of Defense. But the United States, Blinken, sanctioned the Defense Secretary of China, and then in Singapore at the Shangri-La defense meeting last month, Lloyd Austin wanted to talk to the Chinese defense minister, and he said, absolutely not. You're not going to sanction me, then talk to me. That's not going to happen, you know. So with our mad sanctioning, our self-righteous and arrogant sanctioning, we're shutting down communications with everybody in the world. People are sick and tired of it. So
yes.
Let me get into that. So what is the strategy of Russia in the current war? The strategy is to destroy Western bullying in the world so that humanity can survive, thrive, and have peace. This, believe it or not, is also China's point of view. The main effort is now in the global political economic sphere. Already more than half of humanity supports Russia. This means depriving the U.S. of its economic power to bully. The U.S. got everyone dependent on the Bretton Woods system after World War II, financial system. That includes the dollar as a trade exchange currency and petrodollar, the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank. This allowed MasterCard and Visa to be universal credit cards. But the United States used other nations' dependence on the dollar to blackmail them and bullying them about, demanding obedience. If they don't go gay, we economically sanction them. Nations are tired of this. They do not want to be gay, and they don't want to be woke. To them, wokeness is pure make-believe. It is ignorance because it ignores what is obvious. A clear example is woke beliefs about sex and race. In college, I learned some forensic osteology, that is, discerning information from bones. When I was a homicide investigator in Tampa, I could look at skeletons, and it was very easy to tell a male from a female skeleton. I could also tell the race of the skeleton. This means that sex and race actually exist in nature. But the woke expect us to ignore the obvious, to believe their delusional make-believe narrative of the world with its rainbows, butterflies, and, unicorns. In just 1 year, the petrodollar is gone. Nations actively moved to currencies pegged to gold and other commodities to settle trade deals in order to avoid the dollar and America sticking their nose into their economies and disrupting their trade with sanctions. The International Monetary Fund and World Bank loans have always had so many political and cultural strings attached to them that they are unattractive to most nations, and they want to move to other development banks that China and the BRICS have set up. Southeast Asia is dropping MasterCard and Visa and started using UnionPay instead. That's the Chinese credit card. The Middle East and South China are starting to decline MasterCard and Visa and using the Russian Mir credit card. The Iranians use Mir now, and so does Venezuela.
That's MIR, right? MIR.
Yeah, MIR. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So over 40 nations now want to join the BRICS trade group and shift their trading partners to non-Western nations. The sanctions used by the West to sanction Russia are in fact starting to economically isolate the United States and the European Union. However, the political drift away from the West is even faster. People are tired of our arrogant, smug, condescending attitude towards them. They are tired of being preached to by an immoral, child-molesting, sissy faggot America. Nobody wants to be like us. They will not allow their children to be sexualized and groomed into LGBT lifestyles by Marxist woke American culture. It is a heartfelt drift away from American leadership. People are disgusted by what America stands for, Marxism and sodomy. Russia has done much in just 1 year. Russia sees that the longer the war, the more damage that it will do to Western leadership in the world. So this is the main effort. The main effort is now to let the Western powers destroy themselves with their own policies. there can be no peace in the world until the United States, NATO, and the EU, and the United Nations is completely destroyed. They see that as a cheap possibility, not by any attack, but by just letting us do what we are doing. As Napoleon said, never interrupt an enemy when he's making a mistake. Yes, it takes time, but they are halfway there in just 1 year. We can see this international change in Anthony Blinken's show of desperation to get some wins, since he knows Ukraine is going to be a failure. All of the pedophile Biden regime's policies have been dismal failures and has made America less safe and less powerful. We have lost influence. Why? Well, I do not like it that my government is the enemy of children and innocence and a beacon of immorality. The president is an incestuous pedophile and a brain-dead puppet of Satan. I don't respect him and his inept, corrupt, and immoral administration. So how much more disrespect can you get outside the USA? Last week, Blinken went to Saudi Arabia to seeking major and in-depth consultations with King Mohammed bin Salman. He wanted Saudi Arabia to increase oil production so that gas prices will go down in America and Biden could get reelected. He foolishly also told the king this. Okay. Well, Biden said he was going to make Saudi Arabia a pariah state. Why would Saudi Arabia want to help a disgusting old pedophile out? The cuts are to create a stable price that benefits them. Blinken also wanted to convince Saudi Arabia to normalize relations with Israel at a time when Israel is building more settlements and crushing Palestinian resistance. Does Blinken not have a brain? Clearly, now is not the time to talk about it. Israel is, in fact, becoming an afterthought in the Middle East. Support for Israel means suffering for millions of Muslims. Islam's center is in Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia is the destination for millions of Muslims making the Hajj, one of the five pillars of Islam. It's something they're required to do. Saudi Arabia is not going to prostitute itself to America to appease Israel. Finally, Blinken wanted Saudi Arabia to join us in sanctioning and threatening Iran, Russia, and China. Blinken wants Saudi Arabia to make war. Saudi Arabia has put itself on a path to major economic development, which requires peace. They will not be going back. America is a threat to world peace. You know how you can know? Because America says it is promoting world peace. As you know, our government always says the opposite of truth. They're promoting world peace. They're saving democracy. They're saving the planet. They're all these things, and what we're doing is the exact opposite of those. It goes back to Orwell's "War is peace, hate is love," that kind of stuff. Okay. Blinken is a worm, and the Saudis know it. His several days of meeting was limited to 1.5 hours. That was the king just being polite and humoring Blinken. The Saudis know he is an immoral Zionist Jew. It has not gone unnoticed that China and America are quickly moving towards war. Last month, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin wanted to talk to the Chinese defense minister on the sidelines of the Shangri-La Defense Summit in Singapore. Blinken had sanctioned him. He had absolutely no interest in talking to the asshole who has put sanctions on him. This week, Blinken is going to China to open up lines of communication. China ignored him, so he has to fly there in person. China is not interested in communicating with our government because they know that we never listen to them and we never take them seriously. Blinken is going in person because he thinks the Chinese will be obliged to help him save face. China did not worry about him saving face when they had a summit in Alaska last year, and I think they will be even less inclined to help him save face now, and they did not. They did not open up those military lines of communication that Blinken wanted them to. At home, the Russians have learned to hate Americans and Western Europeans. This hatred is now passionate. You know, I mean, when we sit over here and look at events and we look at our own government and what it does to us, grooming our children, sexualizing our children and stuff, we have a certain hatred towards them. Well, you know, everything that's going on in Ukraine and in the world arena, the Russian people are now willing to accept a preemptive nuclear strike on the West. The Russian people see Ukrainians as their brothers. While we have not been talking about nuclear war, the Russian government has been psychologically preparing its people for just such a war. This week, Russian media published an article by Sergei Karaganov, chairman of Russia's Council of Foreign and Defense Policy, arguing that Russia can use its nuclear arsenal to save humanity from the global catastrophe that the West is. To sum it up, he suggests lowering the threshold of what would trigger a nuclear war. He suggested that Russia warn the people in the target areas to get out because nuclear war is coming. He argued that it would be better to just get it over with for the sake of humanity. The next day, Russian Foreign Minister spokesperson Maria Zakharova reiterated that Russia will only use nuclear weapons if they are faced with an existential threat. Now Putin said this too, but the point is they're going to get the Russian people not just behind nuclear war with the West and its necessity, but rather get the Russian people to demand a nuclear war so that they can get some peace and security. That's what's coming down the road. This is psychological preparation. Okay.
You read the guy's paper. You read the story.
Yes.
Very interesting, and it did draw a lot of response. He basically, just to keep it simple, what he's saying is that if we were to use nukes in a preemptive fashion to end the war in Ukraine, it would so stun and startle NATO and the U.S. that they might back off and stop this insanity before it does degenerate into World War III.
Okay, but keep in mind, when he's saying the use of nukes, America will always say, oh, they're talking about using them in Ukraine. No, they are not. He's talking about nuking the United States and nuking Western Europe, not nuking Ukraine. Why would Russia nuke Ukraine? They're doing fine in Ukraine. There's no reason for them to nuke them. So, you know, how can we measure this, like the Russian support and the Russian people supporting their government and our people supporting our government? Well, the U.S. Army offers 10 times the pay and benefits of the Russian Army. They even will give you $50,000 to join. The United States also has twice the population of Russia. We want to recruit 5,000 soldiers per month. We can only actually recruit 3,750 soldiers per month. Meanwhile, Russia recruits 9,500 soldiers per month. Those 9,500 soldiers are Russian men who support their government and believe in their cause. We just hire people that basically are looking for a job, okay? Whose people are more politically conscious and motivated, Russia or the United States? We can measure that. Russians are 2.5 times more motivated than we are. That's measurable in the recruiting numbers. Not only that, but their army has no faggots and trannies serving, and they do not have woke military leaders like we do. They do not have women in combat arms. We do. Combat arms, for everybody, is infantry, armory, cavalry, field artillery, air defense artillery, and combat engineers. The people on the ground actually engage in combat. It is untrue that just anybody can do it. Combat is overwhelmingly difficult and totally dangerous. You must have both stamina and endurance. You must have self-awareness and self-control. You must have courage. Courage is being scared to death to do something, but you make yourself do it anyways. Truth is that feminists and LGBT people are not suited for this. They are by nature narcissistic and self-serving, a quality that gets their teammates killed, attributes that lead to failure. In Ukraine, they are trying to create as much hatred of the Russian people as they can. Mikhail Podolyak, Zelensky's main advisor, said this week, there is only one plan, the most brutal advance with the maximum killing of Russians on this route. The only possible scenario for Ukraine is to reach its 1991 borders. Last month, he had said, we will always and everywhere persecute Russians. Kirill Budinov, the head of the Ukrainian military intelligence, said that he had killed many Russian public figures and pledged to keep killing Russians anywhere on the face of this world. These are evil, evil, heartless people. They send their own sons to be slaughtered on the front for little or no return. Okay, what are they getting out of it? They're getting money out of it. They're getting lots of money out of it. There's a few people in Ukraine that are getting filthy rich on this, and they're Zionist Ukrainians, and they're criminal Ukrainians. The criminals are mostly Zionist anyway. So not only that, but they're not alone in this scam. The West, the United States and Europe, we're sending Ukraine trash and charging them the full price for it. Okay. We send them $1 billion worth of something, and it's trash, and then we just charge it off as $1 billion. Okay. Mm-hmm. And where do the good stuff go? Where does the good stuff go? Well, it's in Mexico. The cartels have it. They have the equipment we're giving to Ukraine. They have it. And you know who made a big fuss about this is Israel is freaking out because these guns are being, these weapons like javelin missiles, once again, anti-tank missiles, are being sold to the Iranians. The Iranians have a crap load of javelin missiles now. And it's like, so what America's doing is we are arming the world, getting ready for World War III. We're arming them.
And disarming ourselves in the process.
Oh, yeah. Even Jens Stoltenberg said today that Europe has no more, NATO has no more military supplies. We're out. And we don't have any industrial capacity to catch up.
Nope.
So this is evil as could be. So keep an eye in August when the BRICS meeting is to take place in South Africa. Between the SBU, who will supply the manpower, the CIA, and MI6, they are planning to either kill or capture Putin. They are training and practicing it now. Ukrainian commandos are at Camp Perry in Virginia right now to practice and plan for this mission. You know what? They go out to get something to eat, and everybody's aware that they're there, okay? It's hard to keep a secret. The CIA calls Camp Perry the farm. Russia is aware, and if Putin is killed or captured, Dmitry Medvedev, who has the same power to release nuclear weapons as Putin does, will just push the button and we are over. The previous escalation they planned to set off a nuke at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant did not work out. Their narrative did not materialize. You see, the story was to be that the Ukrainian counteroffensive would be so bad that the Russians, out of fear of defeat and desperation, would get desperate and nuke the plant. Well, the counteroffensive is a nothing burger. So the CIA evil plan to start World War III did not materialize. Ukraine has lost 25% of their combat power in the past 2 weeks, and they really have nothing to show for it. The next big move was if Russia started moving, NATO troops would flood into western Ukraine and occupy it to stop the Russians, who NATO wrongly surmised would not fire on NATO troops. Putin disabused them of this delusional idea. He said that they would violently attack such troops. On Wednesday, the Director General of the European Union Military Staff, Vice Admiral Hervé Léjean, said that to send ground troops to Ukraine is to be a party in the war, to be at war with Russia, and nobody wants that, neither the EU nor NATO. So Europeans are not going along with the shameful pedophile Joe Biden's effort to save face in the war. Really, although Biden says that he must have a win in this counteroffensive to prove his real election chances, his handlers, however, know that the old pedophile Biden never has to save face, and he does not need any votes to win an election. He does not even have to have a debate with anyone. Mostly because he can't, but it doesn't matter. He's going to get reelected. Okay, there's no way that he can lose. If they want him to win, he will win. People, we have no say-so, zero say-so in this. Okay. We do not select our leaders. They are imposed on us. So on July 8th at the NATO summit in Vilnius, Lithuania, Zelensky was going to press for immediate membership in NATO. 11 NATO nations have said no to this idea, and for it to happen at all must agree unanimously. In other words, one person can make it not happen, one nation. But we got 11 nations that say absolutely not. The 11 NATO nations that will not admit Ukraine to NATO said that they would not approve under any conditions, even if there was peace, even if Ukraine was not so corrupt and undemocratic, they would not do it. In fact, the war in Ukraine is now a secondary effort for Russia. The Russian strategy for Ukraine is to destroy the Ukrainian army with as little expenditure and loss of Russian life as possible. Done. The method of doing this was to have a forward line of troops on the front. These troops are highly mobile forces that were to put up a token resistance to the great mother of all counteroffensives, then make the first line of defense about 30 or 50 kilometers south of the front line, with four more lines of defense behind that. The idea was to encourage the Ukrainian army to drive the 30 to 50 kilometers south into a carefully arranged system of kill boxes. The Russians also left an apparently weakly defended area north of Berdyansk for the Ukrainian main effort and penetration. This was clearly a trap, and the Ukrainians are not taking that bait. They could have made good progress, but then would be decimated when the trap was sprung. But Russia had, in fact, overestimated the Ukrainians. It is best to always overestimate your enemy, never underestimate him. Let me explain. This will explain everything about the counteroffensive. To spearhead the counteroffensive, the Ukrainians formed the 47th Mechanized Infantry Brigade, equipped it with Leopard main battle tanks and Bradley fighting vehicles. They trained new Ukrainian soldiers in Grafenwöhr, Germany. They were trained by Canadian soldiers to fight to NATO standards and were even given M16 rifles instead of AK-47s. You see, Canada has lots of Ukrainians, so they could train the Ukrainians in their own language. They did individual troop training, squad training, platoon training, company training, battalion training, combined arms training, brigade training. For officers, they chose young officers that had not been trained in the old Soviet way. This was supposed to be a NATO-equivalent brigade. It was supposed to be the flagship brigade of the Ukrainian army, Ukraine's first NATO standard brigade. Only the best troops, NCOs and officers, were allowed in the 47th. It was led by a 28-year-old Colonel Oleksandr Shok. They went on the offensive at Robotyne on June 9th. In a single day, they lost half their force. The Russians on the front line were to put up a token resistance, then retreat to draw them into a kill box. They did not even make it to the front line that day. The Russians just put up a minimal effort on the front lines. They first destroyed the single Finnish minesweeper, causing there to be a traffic jam. Then Russian infantry began hitting the road jam with Lancet missiles, quickly destroying three Leopard tanks and 11 Bradley fighting vehicles, which you American people paid almost $1 million apiece for. Then they poured it on with Lancet III anti-tank drones and Ka-32 Kornets helicopter-borne anti-tank missiles. The very best Ukrainian brigade with the very best trained troops performed dismally, and the results were extremely underwhelming. This is an important battle because it was a test run to see how NATO troops would fare against the Russians. It was after this that the European Union decided not to send NATO troops into Ukraine. This battle also killed the nuclear false flag operation for now. It gets worse. The Russians were just supposed to put up a token resistance on the front lines, but the Ukrainian forces are doing so bad that Russians are counterattacking. Why bother? Well, the best example of this is the Battle of Hastings in 1066. The Norman invaders got the upper hand, and the English ran away. The Normans pursued and exterminated the English. You see, a retreat or a withdrawal is the most dangerous and difficult military maneuver that you can make. The Russians are pursuing to destroy the Ukrainian army. Let me illustrate this further. The United States, a NATO power, withdrew from Afghanistan, and it was a disaster. Last year, when Russia withdrew from Kiev, Chernihiv, and Kharkov, they did not sustain any major casualties. This indicates that Russia is a combat effective, and NATO forces simply are not. In summation, the world is spiraling into World War III. It will be foolish, foresighted, and arrogant actions on our side that will lead to a nuclear exchange. It will be the pedophile Biden regime, anxious to turn us all into mindless faggots and trannies and make child molesters a protected class, must keep power so they can complete their project of making the world gay, destroying our country, negating the Constitution, abolishing the Bill of Rights, destroying the family, marriage, and our children, that out of desperation to keep power will do something stupid and desperate to get us all killed. Russia is not the problem. The pedophile Biden regime is the problem. What could set off a nuclear war? At the moment, I see two possibilities: killing or kidnapping Putin on his way to South Africa, or delivering a tactical nuclear weapons to Ukraine, as some have advocated. The Russians will launch a nuclear war as soon as the nukes arrive in Ukraine, but have not yet been deployed. They're not going to wait for them to be deployed. We're going to nuclear war. They're actually talking about it. And the Ukrainians already have one for their false flag attack. On Friday, Putin clarified to the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum that Russia will never use a tactical low-yield nuclear weapons as a deterrent. Russia's nuclear posture has not changed since the Ukraine war began. It is a strategic nuclear posture. The first nuclear weapons to be used since 1945 will not fall in Ukraine. They will detonate in America and Western Europe. This, once again, was a statement intended to let the world know who will set off a nuke in Ukraine: NATO, not them. It is America that insists on saying that Russia says they may use nukes in Ukraine. Russia has been very clear. They have no intention of doing so. Americans need to understand Russia's actual warning. If Russia starts losing in Ukraine, such that it is an existential threat to them, they will nuke the United States. Really, how would a nuke in Ukraine possibly help them? Really, it won't help them, okay? This is the way the pedophile gay Marxist Biden regime works. They are extremely undemocratic organization, yet they say they must outlaw the MAGA Republicans to save democracy. They have to create institutional and structural racism against white people in order to stop racism. On Friday, the Satanist Merrick Garland said in response to the St. George Floyd situation that the Justice Department must stop law enforcement from making, quote, unconstitutional arrests. The same Justice Department has been making unconstitutional arrests the very centerpiece of their mission statement. The Defense Department just keeps repeating that Russia is going to use nukes in Ukraine, precisely because our government fully intends to use nuclear weapons in Ukraine if they can. So after the UK sent depleted uranium munitions to Ukraine and Russia blew them up at their depot in western Ukraine, spreading the radioactive dust to our NATO allies in Poland, Slovakia, Hungary, and Romania. Now we want to do that again. Let's reinforce failure. Putin has not accepted Karaganov's thesis of lowering the threshold because he knows in good faith that if he gave Joe Biden an ultimatum not to do something, or it would mean nuclear war, he knows the very next thing that Biden would do is exactly what they warned him not to do. Okay, so because that's what he's done. He's crossed every red line. Okay, he always, as soon as Russia says, hey, you better not do this, Biden will go and do it right away. So So the biggest threat to the survival of the American people, the survival of the constitutional system in America, the survival of the Bill of Rights, and the health and well-being of your children, we got to get rid of this pedophile president that we got. Okay, how to do that? Well, we'll talk about that some other time. So, what is the Russian grand strategy? Okay, so you've got strategy, which is kind of like what the military does. A grand strategy is what the political leadership of the military institutes. Okay, this leads to Russian grand strategy. Their strategy for the world. Friday at the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum, foreign minister spelled it out. Lavrov said that by the time the conflict in Ukraine is resolved, Kyiv will respect the loss of its former territories and Western-led globalization will be dead. Lavrov described the West's proxy war with Russia as a geopolitical conflict in which the United States was attempting to eliminate the powerful competitor and preserve its hegemonic position by all means. The attempt is futile, and we all know this. Ukraine and its backers will be forced to accept new concrete realities before a ceasefire is reached. We're actually sort of doing that now. You start looking at the Washington Post, you start looking at the New York Times, they're starting to report negative things about Ukraine. Okay, what they're gonna step this up over the next weeks and months and stuff. They already know Ukraine is a lost cause. Now they have to save face in front of the American people that they have so ripped off on this deal. Okay. Lavrov further said, because Europeans have admitted that the 2014 Minsk Accords were designed to give Ukraine time to prepare for war with Russia, Russia will not be fooled again. He said, we won't be prepared to let security guarantees be based on more pledges and promises or even documents the West may offer us. We must guarantee our national security on our own. In other words, they don't trust us, they won't trust us.
No, they won't.
We fully understand that we can only rely on ourselves and build relations only with countries open to an equal and mutually beneficial partnership. This is not what we see in the West these days. Lavrov said that the era in which the U.S. and its allies control the institutions of globalization, primarily development banks and multilateral organizations, will come to a close. The world will be different. Nations will have autonomy and independence. Can they do it? Well, so far they're doing better than we're doing. Okay, they're winning right
sure.
now. So,
oh yeah, yep. Well, if you look at those videos again at the top of the homepage, you'll begin to understand the dynamics of what is actually going on there, and the Ukrainians are just being slaughtered. It's really it's obvious, and it's intentional that the Zelensky doesn't care. And they have the best NATO and American military advice going into their counteroffensive that you could hope to have, and it's not working.
Well, you know, I saw the diagrams of the counteroffensive plans that NATO made. You know, it's our generals made this plan. Okay, these are the people who are supposed to defend America. They trained this brigade. They planned this operation, and it is failing miserably. The Ukrainian people are aware of how brutal and evil Zelensky is. I mean, we hear about how much, you know, they love him or something. I highly doubt that. But what we're seeing on the front lines is Ukrainian troops are quick to surrender because they don't want to die. They know that they're there to die because everybody dies there. So if they have an opportunity to surrender, they surrender. And you know who is surrendering first is the people driving the Leopard tanks. They say these things are death traps.
Well, they're the private, the obvious first priority target. Get the Leopard tanks. Just humiliate everybody that way. That's the idea.
Well, not only that, but Russian soldiers get paid a hefty bounty. I mean, I think it's like $13,000. But in Russia, $13,000 is more like $50,000 to us, okay? So, you know, they're doing it. They're not fighting hard. You know, the Russians are kind of surprised. It's like they were waiting to do, you know, it's like you get a role in a movie or something, okay? So when you have a role in the movie, you're not thinking the big picture. You're just thinking, well, I'm going to act my role, okay? And, you know, it's like they're not even wanting to play that role. Okay, they know it's all pointless what they're doing. Okay, they're there. They're thinking, you know, I'm going to die for nothing at all. Just pointlessness. They know, the Ukrainian people know, that the money is going in the pockets of their Zionist apparatchiks and stuff that have nice homes on Miami Beach and stuff, okay? They know that. They're aware of that. They can't say that. If you say anything, you're dead. They'll kill you. There is no freedom of speech, no freedom of the press, no freedom of nothing in Ukraine. Okay, even their soldiers. Their soldiers know that if they're seriously wounded, they still have value. Their government will sell their organs because they can't sell organs of dead people. Okay, they've got to have fresh meat on there to sell. Do you know how much money a Ukrainian doctor gets to harvest the organs from just one Russian or Ukrainian wounded soldier? $170. That's all he gets. Who's making the big money on the organs? Well, Zelensky and his clique. They're making the big money. It's going into their pockets.
They're probably getting 50 grand or more for a major organ, right?
Oh, yeah. And the doctor's taking my money to get $170. And it's like, so they harvest if their soldier is sort of minorly wounded where he can recover and go back to combat, they will give him medical treatment. But if it looks like they're going to be like a burden on Ukrainian society, like they're going to be crippled or something like that, they just finish them off and harvest their organs and sell them. And then that is their contribution to the Ukrainian state. Okay. When they caption Russian soldiers, I mean, they're trying to keep a few Russian soldiers alive just to trade for prisoners. But you know what? They don't have very many because when they capture these Russian soldiers, they harvest their organs. They kill them and harvest their organs and stuff. And the unspoken thing, I mean, we hear about that, you know, the unspoken thing is when they go through these things, you got to remember that the people in eastern and southern Ukraine are ethnic Russians. The Ukrainian army is rounding up ethnic Russian civilians and harvesting their organs. Okay. If they're little girls or boys, they'll sell them on the pedophile black market. If they're pretty girls, they'll sell them to prostitution rings. This is a completely, totally corrupt, immoral, disgusting state, corrupt state in Ukraine. It's all about making money. But you see, they're burdened with the problem that they're cheating everybody. They're making a deal out of this. But America and Europe's doing the same thing. We're dumping crap on them and charging it off and stuff. And this is to fool the taxpayers and stuff, because their replacement, they get the full amount to replace these weapons, okay? And they're sending crap over to them. So, and all the good stuff goes to the black market. And then the troops on the front line, they get crappy weapons. Now, this 47th Brigade is the only one that did not get crappy weapons. They got everything state of the art. They were supposed to penetrate all the way down to Berdyansk. Listen, they've got 30 to 50 miles to go to get to the first defensive line. Guess what? In 2 weeks, they haven't even made it one quarter of the way. Okay, not even one quarter. And I mean, the Russian troops, they're supposed to put up a token resistance, but they're finding that a token resistance is a little bit too much for the Ukrainian army.
I think you're right. After watching those analyses over and over again by military summary, it's such a disaster. It's mm-hmm. like they're in league with somebody. I don't even know what they're doing there. It's just like they're throwing away human lives and all that equipment. They've lost over one-third of the armored vehicles that they've been given in the last, what, 3-4 months, 5 months? I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's being trashed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Actually, the Russians have captured some of this equipment, and they're now, guess what? If we thought they're good against us now, wait until they figure out and learn how to operate our equipment and see how it works. Because, see, they can use them for an accurate op for to train their troops and stuff, okay? That means an opposing force. Opposing force, it's Russian soldiers, but they actually teach them the tactics and the equipment and stuff of the foreign armies. And then they go out and they challenge, like, regular Russian combat units and stuff so that they can train up and kind of know what's going on and stuff. But there's nothing. I mean, this is all. Everything's just good and good and good for Russia and stuff. So I want to just point out for a minute something that Lavrov had said, because it's something we should pay attention to. Okay, he said that they don't want the West leading this hegemonic globalization. Okay. They're not saying that there won't be globalization. There certainly will be. It's just they don't want the West and they don't want the United States running that globalization, because they're all in for making money and good business. What they're not into is being faggots and sissies and stuff. They're not into the sodomy, okay? And the central thing of America, right, its number one thing, is sodomy. That is what we're doing. Okay, and I'll get into this a little bit more next week and stuff, okay, so...
Well, the war on children, forcing children into this whole milieu is beyond words. It's beyond evil. It's horrible.
And I'll tell you, it's a far cry from, when I was a police officer like 40 years ago in Tampa, Florida, I was a vice cop, and, I had to make arrests for pedophilia. Okay, I had to investigate pedophilia. It's a disgusting thing to have to investigate, but it's worth doing it for the children that you save. But we had a rule. It is an unspoken rule. It wasn't written down in the police department. But the rule was, when we arrested some for pedophilia, that they had to resist arrest with violence, whether they wanted to or not. Okay? So, there was a sense of some justice and stuff. They knew the court was going to, like go easy on these people, but they thought somebody should go a little bit hard on them and stuff. So, and I could go on and on with the horror stories about pedophiles and stuff and the way that our system treated them. Listen, they were pro-pedophile 40 years ago. The court system was on the side of the pedophiles, not on the side of the children or the people. Okay, so in that regard, just things have gotten worse, and now the police are not allowed to have them resist arrest with violence, whether they want to or not. They're not allowed to do that anymore. So, times have changed.
How much longer?
Minor attracted people.
Oh yeah,
it's the new. Please. It's the next thing that they're going to make a protected class of people.
How
out
can
of these
they
people.
Actually take a normal heterosexual society and mm-hmm. introduce that and have it even stick? I don't understand it. And now it's growing. I guess children are impressionable. They're dumb. They're scared. Mm-hmm. They're confused. They're controlled, and all of the above. And it just boggles me. That this is
where are their
sticking.
Parents? The where are their parents? Where are their parents while their children?
That's the biggest question of all.
Yeah. Well, their children, they give their children to the state so the state can have sex with them. Okay? That's what they do. So what are the parents doing? They're watching Major League baseball on TV that promotes, like, these, you know, the Sisters of Indulgence, these tranny things for Pride Month and stuff. They're watching that. I was so glad to see that there was a big march of people protesting the Dodgers game and stuff. That is a positive sign.
The stadium was virtually empty, they say.
Yeah, so. A very positive sign.
Yeah, that's a good one.
These boycotts against Target and Bud Light, positive sign, very positive sign, you know. Maybe Americans will start boycotting at least.
Think about it. Americans stood up about Bud Light, stood up about Target, and now they're boycotting a baseball team. How is this going to change anything much except hurt the individual economic entities involved? I'm glad to see
it does need to do a lot more than that. See, Target and these companies, they are the ones who own our politicians. And they lost like $15 billion and $9 billion. Hit them in the pocketbook. That pocketbook is what pays for your politicians, okay? Because you don't pay for them. They don't represent you. They represent Target, and they represent Kohl's, and they represent Bud Light. That's who pays their bills and stuff. So that's the people they listen to. They don't listen to us. They don't care about us. They don't care about our children. They don't care about innocence. They don't care about anything. It's just pure evil, you know?
So. I agree. Well, very, very well done, Mitch. Let's see what happens here in the next week. Be safe, be careful, and keep up the good work. I hope you're getting some good response from these, and people love them. So, well done. Thank you.
Okay. Have a good week.
Okay, thanks, Mitch. Take care. All right, and there he goes, Mitchell Henderson, every Monday, except for the third Monday, then he's on Tuesday. All right, back with you tomorrow night in 21 hours. See you then.